Welcome's broadcast. This is Evangelist Jeremiah Dixon with Lifting Up Jesus Ministry from here in Knoxville, Tennessee. I do appreciate the opportunity that is ours to bring to you a message from the Word of God. And we trust that if it's at all possible, you'll take your Bible and study along with us as we look into God's infallible Word. First, I'd like to give you some good news about our revival at the Tennessee Ridge Baptist Church in Erin, Tennessee. We were there last week, and the Lord really blessed in the meeting. There were six precious souls that were saved by the grace of God. There was one broken marriage that was restored in the meeting, and there was another young man who surrendered to the ministry in the meeting as well. So we praise the Lord for meeting with us there and for the presence of the Holy Spirit in our services. I'd also like to make our announcements for our meetings this coming Sunday, February the 8th. Lord willing, I'm to be with the Victory Baptist Church in Andersonville, Tennessee, on Sunday morning. Their service, Sunday school at 10 and preaching at 11. The pastor there is Brother Larry Ridener, and Lord willing, we'll be with him on Sunday morning. On Sunday evening, I'm scheduled to preach at the New Beginning Baptist Church, also located in Knoxville, Tennessee, in the Halls community, and their service begins at 6 p.m. The pastor there is Brother David Nicely. And Lord willing, I'll be with these folks on Sunday evening, February the 8th. We'd also like to remind you about our website on the World Wide Web at www.liftingupjesus.com. That is www.liftingupjesus.com. And if you have the opportunity, we would invite you to visit our website. Amen. We appreciate the opportunity to open the Word of God. Livepreaching.com. What a blessing from the Lord it is. We're going to turn this evening into the book of Romans, chapter number 13. The book of Romans, chapter number 13. And begin our reading with verse number 11. Here the Word of God says, "And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." Let us pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the privilege to come before the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. And in this time, Father, we're asking for the power of the Holy Spirit to come upon us. Lord, to enable us, give us wisdom and liberty and power. We ask, Father, for a special blessing and a special outpouring of Thy Spirit. And then, Father, we ask Thee to touch the ears of the hearer, that they may hear and receive the Word of God. Father, do a great work of grace by the power of your Spirit, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to use for a text Romans chapter 13 and verse number 11. Here the Bible says, "And that knowing the time," that we need to know the time that we're living in. The Bible said that now it is high time to awake out of sleep.
For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. So the Bible says it is high time to awake. I'd like to preach on this subject, wake up before the take up. Wake up before the take up. See, the Bible issues a wake-up call, and it's a call from heaven to the believer. It is vitally important for God's people to hear and to heed to the Lord's wake-up call. The church has been in a sleeping condition for far too long. And instead of waking up, I feel like we've been hitting that spiritual snooze button time and time again. You know, sometimes in the morning, if you set your alarm clock to go off at a certain time, reminding you that it's time to awake and to get busy with the things of the day. And if you're not ready to get up, or you still feel tired when that alarm clock sounds, you can hit the snooze button and it give you just a little extra time that you might rest. But the problem is you keep hitting that snooze button, you don't get anything done, or you're late or behind on the activities of the day. And so, my friend, there's a danger in God's people sleeping on the work of the Lord. My friend, when we're asleep, there's a lack of activity. We're not busy. We're not getting anything done. Jesus said it like this in John chapter 9 and verse number 4. I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Amen. Excuse me for using that curse word, friend. But Jesus said, it's time to work. Amen. Most folks consider working for the Lord a tedious task, a burden, if you will. But my friends, we need to get involved in God's work. When we're sleeping, there's a lack of activity. But also when we're sleeping, there's a lack of awareness. You ever wonder why a thief comes in the night? He comes in the night because folks are sleeping. They're less aware of what's going on around them. And my friend, when the church goes to sleep, when God's people are sleeping spiritually, we lose our awareness. Our spiritual discernment is not what it ought to be. Paul said it like this when he wrote to the church at Thessalonica. In 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse number 5, he said, ye are the children of light and the children of the day. Amen. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. And they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. And so, my friend, we need to be aware of the day we're living in. There is no doubt in my mind this this time as we speak to you, there's no doubt in my mind that we're living in the last days of the grace of God. And in these days, friend, there's much confusion and deception sweeping across the world as we know it. And we do not need to be ignorant concerning the condition of these last days. No believer should ever desire to be found sleeping when the trumpet of God sounds. Jesus Christ is going to appear and He's going to take up the people that belong to Him. That's true, friend. He's going to call us. The trumpet will sound and those that belong to Him will be taken up. And before that take up, we desperately need to wake up. And so the wake up before the take up. I want to give you some signs that we're living in the last days, the closing days of the dispensation of the grace of God. Here's 10 signs of the last days. Number one, slippage. Slippage. In other words, apostasy. Slipping away from the truth. Listen to 1 Timothy 4 and verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And my friends, that's the hour we're living in. Many have departed from the faith. They've given heed to the seducing spirits and the doctrines of devils. Listen at 2 Timothy 4, beginning with verse 3. By the way, 2 Timothy is Paul's last written epistle, written to his own son in the faith, Timothy. And Paul said this. He said, the time will come. I believe we're living there. He said, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. That's the explanation for why churches that preach the gospel straight and preach the gospel plain are being abandoned. And mega churches where you can feel comfortable and have your ears tickled are growing by leaps and bounds. So there's slippage. Secondly, there's scandals. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 13 says, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. Listen, deceiving and being deceived. Paul said they're going to wax worse and worse. You'd have to be nearly brain dead to think it's getting better, friends. Paul said these days and these men are waxing worse and worse. And he said this, Brother Ronnie. He said they're not only deceived, but they're deceiving others. That's a sign that we're in the last days. And then there's the sign of sodomy. I know some folks would like me to just kind of skip over this one and not say much about it. But here's what the Word of God says. Luke 17, beginning with verse 26. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Listen carefully. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. And here's what Jesus said. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. An abundance of sodomite activity is a sign that we're living in the last days. My friend, the sad thing is, not only is this activity in the world, but this activity has infiltrated the church. This past week, I was watching the news, and I saw on there an interview with a man by the name of Ted Haggard. Ted Haggard was the head of the National Evangelical Association, representing 45,000 churches. And millions of Christians nationwide. This man was the head. Most people didn't know it. But Haggard was engaging in homosexual activity with a male prostitute and another male volunteer. He said he had thought that focusing on his spiritual life would help, but found that it did not. Haggard said in his own words, it actually made me worse.
And as of a couple weeks ago, he's still undergoing therapy and hasn't quite achieved victory over his problem.
Now, did you get that? He was the head of the National Evangelical Association, representing 45,000 churches. And he's a sodomite.
You say, preacher, what do you think about that? I think it means we're living in the last days.
Amen. And so, my friend, there's sodomy. Then there's scholarship. You think about this for a moment. Daniel 12:4 says, but thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Listen, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Sign of the last days, the increase of knowledge. Now you think about all the advancements in medicine, all the advancements in technology, the internet. You think about all the knowledge that has increased. It's a sign we're living in the last days. In 1990, 13.1 of Americans, 13.1% of Americans held a bachelor's degree. Listen, in 2007, 34% of Americans held a bachelor's degree. So one-third of Americans have a four-year college degree. Today, it's an almost expected thing that kids go to college after high school. And you've got college professors now who tell you that a bachelor's degree doesn't mean anything anymore. And you've got to go on and on. And more people are getting their master's degree. And listen, they're going to classes on engineering and education and medicine. And just like the Bible said, knowledge is increased.
Scholarship. And then there's skirmishes. Jesus said this, Matthew 24, verse 6, ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. Ye shall hear of them.
You say, oh, but Brother Jeremiah, there's always been wars and rumors of wars.
It isn't the fact that they exist. It's the fact now that we have the ability to hear of them all.
Jesus said you're going to hear of wars and rumors of wars.
You know how that's possible? Fox News, CNN, the internet. All these things let us know we're living in the last days.
You turn on the news, you see wars, rumors of wars.
Listen, just a little history here. In the Middle East, on the eve of Obama's inauguration, Israel ended its military efforts in Gaza as it tried to root out the leadership of the terrorist group Hamas.
In Sri Lanka, an island county, a country off the southern coast of India and Asia, the Sri Lankan government is perhaps about to end a 25-year conflict with the Tamils, a separatist group that uses terrorism in an effort to create an independent state. And oftentimes children get caught in the crossfire and thousands of innocent civilians are killed. We see countries that live daily on the brink of war.
How about North and South Korea? Every day in countries all across the world, we hear of wars and rumors of war. You say, what does it mean, preacher? It means we're living in the last days.
Skirmishes. Number six, shortages. Matthew 24, verse 7, nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines.
Shortages of food, and shortages of water. Did you know that after oxygen, the most precious commodity on earth known to mankind, that is very essential to human survival, is water? Every year we see droughts and water shortages. Towns across America are asked to conserve. One town out in California has gone as far as to limit water usage. And if you overuse your allotted amount of water, they can turn your water off after your third offense. Restaurants in this area have stopped serving water to their patrons, except upon request.
and restaurant drinking glasses are made out of a biodegradable corn product so that water is not wasted on washing drinking glasses. Shortages. Another sign of the last days. Number 7, how about sicknesses? Jesus said, Matthew 24:7 again, nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences. Diseases. Sicknesses. The World Health Organization estimates that 3,000 people have died in the African country of Zimbabwe due to a modern outbreak of cholera. Nearly 60,000 have been infected. And the situation is only expected to get worse. Of course, there's all types of other diseases that we see today. AIDS is on a rampage. There's the bird flu. All types of sicknesses and diseases that have never been known to man. It's a sign of the last days, my friends. Number 8, superficiality. Superficiality is a lack of depth in knowledge, reasoning, emotions, or character. It means to be shallow or artificial. In essence, you say one thing. You broadcast love with your lips, but there's no substance to it. Matthew 24:12, Jesus said, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And if that's not the truth, oh my, I don't know what is. How about in Florida, July 2006, 18-year-old Sakora Williams was pregnant, scheduled for an abortion. The doctor didn't arrive in time. She went into labor and had the baby. Since the doctor was not present, the clinic's owner scooped up the baby, placed her into the bag, and threw the baby into the garbage. Interestingly enough, Williams came face to face with her baby girl when she had her, and that changed everything. Now she's suing the clinic for malpractice. It's a sign, friends, that we are living in the last days. Yes, we are. Number 9, how about scoffers? 2 Peter 3, beginning with verse 3. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers. In other words, people who mock, they make fun, they ridicule. Peter said, walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. They mock the thought of the second coming. It is amazing how many churches, I said churches, who don't believe in the second coming of Jesus Christ. Many Jews who embrace their Jewish faith mostly on a cultural level have given up believing in the Messiah. The one they rejected 2,000 years ago was their Messiah. And since they missed Him, it's easy to see how they would give up believing He's coming. But how in the world can God's people not live in the light that He's coming again? Scoffers. Scoffers, my friend. Number 10, signs of the last days, the statehood of Israel. Oh yes, you think about this for just a moment now. 70 AD, the people of ancient Israel were violently driven and banished from their Hebrew homeland. That's right. They were dispersed far and wide. And yet for nearly 1900 years, they held on to their identity. They were Israelites. They were Jews. Held that identity. People today, listen, they may be able to theoretically trace their heritage back somehow to an ancient tribe, but no culture ever has been able to survive for 2,000 years. Doesn't happen. Yet God said He would bring Israel back. Amen? And nearly 2,000 years later, He did that. May 14, 1948, the modern-day nation state of Israel was formed as a homeland for the Jews after the Holocaust. The Hebrews did the impossible by keeping their identity for 2,000 years. The Bible says this in Psalm 83, verse 4. They have said, "Come, and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance." But in Isaiah 66, verse 8, the Bible said, "Who hath heard such a thing? Who has seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children." Israel's a nation, and Jesus is soon coming. The Scriptures are abundantly clear that Jesus Christ will return. Sign after sign reveals that His coming is near. And so, my friends, time is running out for those that are unprepared. God's people need to wake up before the take-up. Now, if you really believe He's coming again, then there needs to be some preparation in your life. Yes, friends, some preparation for His coming. We don't need to be like those five foolish virgins were over there in Matthew 25 who were not prepared for the Lord's coming. The Bible says this about their condition. They all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry. There's the calling. But here's their carelessness. They said, "Our lamps are gone out." And here's the consequence. The bridegroom came and took those that were ready to the marriage. And the Bible said in Matthew 25, verse 10, the door was shut. One of these days, friend, the door will be shut on this hour of grace. They came and they knocked on that door, Brother Ronnie. They begged for an opportunity, a second chance. And the Lord said, "I know you not." How sad that is. Jesus said, "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." There needs to be some preparation in our life. There needs to be some purification in our life. The Bible said in 1 John 3, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is." And listen, every man that hath this hope in himself, every man that hath this hope in Him purifieth himself even as He's pure. We need to purify our lives because of His coming. And then we need some persuasion in our lives. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians 5, "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men." God's people have the responsibility of persuading men concerning the truth that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. May God help us to wake up before the take up and to take our responsibility seriously. If we really believe that He's coming again, then we need to live in the light of His coming. If we really believe He's coming again, we need to tell others about His coming. We need to be looking for Jesus Christ. He is our blessed hope. Paul said in Titus 2 and verse 13, "Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. He is my hope." I want to tell you, as far as the world is concerned, it's a dark hour, brother. And things aren't looking so good as far as the world is concerned, as far as politics are concerned. And as far as the industry is concerned, that if your hope is in this world, you'd be of all men most miserable. But I want to tell you something, friend. My hope is beyond this world. My hope is in Christ. He said He would return, and He will. And where He is, there I'll be also. But before He comes to take us up, God says we need to wake up. I pray that God's people will wake up before the take up. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray You'll use Thy Word to speak to the heart of Thy people. Help us, Lord, to wake up and realize the day that we live in, the nearness of the coming of Your Son, and to live in the light of His return.
Thank you, Father, for this opportunity thou hast given to us to preach the Word of God. I pray it not return void, but it would accomplish what you sent it to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May God bless you as ever.